we need to be active. And I think that's we need to engage with both our government as well as our partners. We need to be saying the same things on both sides of the border. And I think that's largely happening, is farm organizations in Canada and the U.S. and Mexico are strongly telling their governments that we need to have this integrated North American market continue. So that's important. And I also think, you know, to producers, engage with your organizations. You know, call me, come into the office, send an email or a text. You know, we're happy to sit down and talk with people about, you know, what's happening and what some of the potential directions might be.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. When it comes to 25-hydroxy D3 products, purity matters. Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Learn more at hy-d.info. Top Pigs Norsvin, the world's most innovative swine genetics company. Herd software aligns your data. Gilt aligns your people. GetGilt.com. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation. Zentrix Insights, the right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the Swine It Canada podcast show brought to you by Wisenetics. So we are dedicated to bringing you the latest and greatest in the Canadian pork industry. So I'm Miranda Smith, and I'll be the host for today's episode. And with me today, I have Cam Dahl, who is the general manager of Manitoba Pork. So welcome to the show, Cam.
It's really good to be with you.
Yeah, and I should say welcome back, because this is not your first time.
It's not. I appreciate these conversations.
Yeah, so I guess it won't be a surprise to people that have heard you before that today we'll be talking about like some global geopolitical uncertainties and like things that are like barriers to growth. So Can we, like, before we get started with that, just for some people that maybe haven't heard you talk before, can you give a short introduction to your background?
Sure. It might be hard to be short. So I have been involved in agriculture for a long time, served on Parliament Hill, and was one of the founding executive directors of the Grain Growers of Canada. I was appointed as a commissioner of the Canadian Grain Commission, and worked in the beef industry for a while, and I was the founding president of Cereals Canada, and then came to work at Manitoba Pork. So with grains and beef and pork, I almost have a full plate of food here already.
Yes, very true.
Most companies know AI can help, but the hard part is getting it deployed inside the business. Elevate Agents builds and launches custom AI agents that handle repetitive workflows, reduce manual overhead, and help teams move faster without adding headcount. From identifying the right use cases to deploying agents that actually work in your operations, Elevate turns AI from an idea into execution. Build smarter systems with Elevate Agents. Visit elevateagents.ai.
All right, so let's get started. And to start us off, can you describe like the current global geopolitical landscape that we're dealing with right now?
I know it's almost become a cliche, but the word is uncertainty. The world is a very uncertain place right now. And of course, that applies to our relationship with the United States, but it's not just the United States. It's There is global and trade uncertainty around the world, whether that's our trade with China, for example, that still has a 25% tariff in place, or even with Europe that has non-tariff trade barriers that are keeping our product out. And that uncertainty really makes future investment difficult. From my perspective, the industry in Canada and the industry, especially in Manitoba, is ready to grow. It's ready to grow at the farm level, and we're ready to grow at the processing level. But when we face this, uncertainty about markets, where are we going to be 6 months from now? You go into your bank and say, hey, I'd like a loan for $15 million. And they say, well, do you know what your market's going to be like in a year? And if you can't answer that question, it makes that that access to capital difficult. So, that is one of the more consequential impacts of the uncertainty that we're facing, both with the U.S. and around the world, is it just makes that investment so much more difficult, again, both for processors as well as for farmers.
Well, and I guess it's not just the trade agreements. It's also things like the Strait of Hormuz, it's Ukraine war. It's like there's a lot of things going on.
Absolutely, there's a lot of things going on. What is the world order going to look like a year from now, but even 6 months from now? We just don't know. That makes some of those investment decisions difficult. Really is, as I said, one of the most consequential barriers to growth at a time when we should be. We're in an upcycle of the market. We're at a point where facilities need to be refurbished, we do have the opportunity for growth in markets, but we need to get by some hurdles first.
Yeah, and I guess one of those hurdles is CUSMA, right? Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, from my understanding, CUSMA is still going to be in place for several years. So why is it so important right now? Why are we hearing so much about it right now?
Well, it's coming up for review officially on July 1st. Of course, the negotiations between Canada, Mexico, and the United States have been taking place in one form or another, or not taking place, as the case may be, for the past couple of years. But to put this in perspective, the U.S. is Canada's one of its right now it's Canada's second largest market for pork after Japan, and we ship over 6 million live animals into the U.S. every year, and CUSMA has given us the advantage of going into that market tariff free as well as quota free. So if we were to lose that, we can diversify. We can look to the Asia Pacific markets, for example, countries like Vietnam. We need to do that. We need to make sure that our trade agreements that we have are working. We need to sit down with the Europeans and kind of say enough is enough on the non-tariff trade barriers that is keeping our product out of Europe. We can diversify, but we're never going to replace the U.S. market. So these negotiations are the most critical. And why is it important now? Yes, the agreement officially carries on until 2036. But if we don't have an agreement to an extension now, then we go into an annual review. And this uncertainty that we've been talking about that is so damaging to investment and growth, we will live in that for years to come. So it really has become the most important file for the government of Canada, and quite frankly for provincial governments as well, is to get a solid agreement with our partners in the U.S. and Mexico.
So with this review, like, they can actually make changes to the existing agreement?
Yes. So I anticipate that there will be a couple of outcomes. One, there can be changes made to the tripartite agreement. So, that would apply to all three countries. But I expect that there'll be side agreements with between Canada and the U.S. and, call them kind of bolt-on appliances to the agreement itself. and as well between the U.S. and Mexico, because we do have slightly different relationships. So I expect we'll see both of that, a renegotiation of some parts by all three countries, and then some side agreements between between individual players.
So any thoughts on what some of those agreements might look like?
Well, I know what I would like to see. you know, I think from a Canadian perspective, there are some irritants like country of origin labeling. Origin labeling is going to be a very big issue, whether it's a steel or aluminum or, you know, autos. It's a very big question in these discussions, and it applies to agriculture as well with the U.S. voluntary country of origin labeling. And I would like to see something like, you know, can we have a product of North America instead of, you know, identifying individual countries where an animal is born, raised, and processed. And that would still give information to consumers while preserving our integrated market. So, you know, something like that, I think, is in the best interest of farmers on both sides of the border. And I think I saw a letter this week from 160 different organizations in Canada, U.S., and Mexico supporting the agreement. So there is overwhelming support in agriculture. But we can address some of those issues in a way that preserves the integrated market. It helps provide food security and quite frankly, national security to all three partners. Well, you know, maybe addressing some of those other issues. Another one is you know, extrajudicial legislation. Proposition 12 in California is one example, where legislation in individual states or provinces can reach beyond that and have an impact. You know, California's law is impacting hog production in Manitoba. And we can't have a situation where we're signing, you know, 50 different agreements with 50 different states. It's just something that's untenable. And again, gets to that uncertainty. We need to be in a spot where we can invest and grow, develop our partnerships and our relationships with our customers in the U.S. and vice versa, without that uncertainty that's hanging over everybody's head right now.
And I guess it's not just Canada that doesn't like this uncertainty, right? Like the American counterparts, like, they're in this too.
And absolutely, and just to take you know, Iowa, for example, we have a very good relationship with our friends in Iowa. And that's because it's a true partnership. Manitoba ships over 2 million isoweans into Iowa every year. That helps hog producers in Iowa be profitable. That helps processors in the U.S. be profitable. that has a positive impact on consumer prices in the U.S. And of course, that's good for Manitoba farmers as well. So keeping that integration is absolutely critical. And the largest customer for Iowa pork is actually Mexico. So all three partners in this agreement are critical for the profitability of producers and for providing that security for consumers.
Mm-hmm. So, like, when we're looking at maybe some policy decisions, like, is there anything that we can do to, either at the national or international level, that can help reduce some of this uncertainty that we're currently seeing?
Yes, I think there is. Of course, on trade, I would give, you know, three approaches. One, we have to give the renegotiation of CUSMA our full attention. And that means we need to be reaching out to individual states, not just spending time in Washington, D.C. Those partners and customers in the states that we do business with are critically important and can deliver a strong message to the U.S. negotiating team. So that would be one message, is that the federal and provincial governments and associations like Manitoba Pork need to be spending time in the U.S. with our partners and really encouraging that collaboration. And second on trade is we do need to diversify our markets. I think that's irrespective of what happens with Kuzma, that would be prudent. And looking to, you know, a country like Vietnam, for example, that is a partner with Canada in the Comprehensive and Pacific Trans-Pacific Partnership, or Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. We'll just call it the TPP for short.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
It is. But we are partners in a very comprehensive trade agreement. Vietnam is a growing economy. They're going to be looking for higher quality product. They are high consumers of pork. And of course, they have faced significant production disruptions because of African swine fever. So we should be spending a lot of time in places like Vietnam or Korea or Taiwan. So diversification is important. And the third pillar on trade, I think we need to pay attention to some of those agreements that we signed a long time ago that just aren't working. And the CETA, the agreement between Canada and Europe, does not work for agriculture because of the non-tariff trade barriers that keep our product out. So if we are going to diversify our markets, we need to make sure that the trade agreements that we already have are working. So that would be my number one policy file right now is trade. And then we talked about uncertainty and access to capital. It is a critical barrier to growth. Our new barn site is $15 to $20 million. That's not always easy to finance for a family farm, and so we need to be creative in ways that can make that capital available to producers. Now we've seen some great initiatives from Farm Credit Canada, for example, where billions of dollars are looking for places to go in agriculture, but I'm not sure that the pathway is open to have those funds flow to the farm gate, and that's something that we need to spend time on. And then the third barrier to growth is labor, and we need to make sure that we have the people that can both help run our processing facilities and help manage our barns. And I think this is a message we've delivered to the government of Canada, as well as the government of Manitoba, who's extremely supportive, is that an immigration policy that is good for Toronto or Montreal and Vancouver is not good for Notre Dame de Lourdes in Manitoba or Nipawa, Manitoba. And we need to have immigration policies and labor policies that are more tailored to those individual needs. So from a policy perspective, trade, access to capital and labor, I think would be my top issues.
Right, because I was just thinking like, okay, if you take the US out of the picture and we would try to keep everything in Canada, like, would we be able to do that? But it sounds like there's massive barriers to be able to do that.
Yeah, and from from a Manitoba perspective, we produce about 8.5 million pigs a year. 90% of that is exported. So either as live animals going into the U.S. or in packages around the world. And so if we were to lose some of those markets or to lose the U.S. market, which is in the range of 20 to 25% of our exports, that would mean barns would close and families would leave the farm. The industry supports 22,000 jobs here in Manitoba. Many of those would disappear if we were to lose access to our number one market.
Yeah, so I can imagine it's like some of our listeners are hearing this, and this might just add to their stress level because they feel like, there's not much they can do about it because it's all these external factors. But like, is there anything that producers and stakeholders can do to kind of like better prepare or adapt for these like uncertain times?
Well, I think I say this a little bit tongue in cheek, but that's part of the job of associations like Manitoba Pork is to help build those relationships with our partners in the U.S. and state governments, our governments like the state of Iowa or the state of Minnesota, as well as to ensure that our negotiating teams understand how important and critical these negotiations are to us. So that's part of our job. And then of course there's the traditional business risk management tools that, you know, whether it's hedging the dollar or, you know, hedging your feed and those kinds of tools that are available. There's help for producers who are looking to optimize those tools as well. So, I think, you know, times like this in uncertainty and volatility really do kind of point out the value of some of those risk mitigation tools.
Okay, perfect. So you mentioned that you should have boots on the ground in the U.S. So have you been to the U.S. recently or are any plans to go soon again?
Yes and yes. So I know this is going to sound funny to some, but we'll be going down for the Iowa State Fair. And for those that haven't been to the Iowa State Fair, well, you should go. But you can do things like have a pork chop on a stick, for example. It really is a political convention. And so it's an opportunity to meet secretaries of agriculture from across the U.S., to meet with governors, to meet with state legislators, and of course, to meet with farm leaders from some of our key customer states, folks like Iowa Pork or the National Pork Board or the National Pork Producers Council. It really is an opportunity for outreach. So that will be coming up. We do spend time in places like Iowa and Minnesota, and was recently part of a delegation going down to Washington, D.C. from Manitoba to talk with some of the senior representatives from the U.S. Trade representative. So, yes, boots on the ground in the U.S. is something that we're active. But it's not just the U.S. And I do have to give a shout out here to the government of Manitoba, because Minister Kostishin is just completing a Asian trade tour that largely focused on pork. Visited Thailand and Vietnam, Hong Kong and Shanghai, and is in Japan now. And Manitoba pork is part of those efforts as well. So yes, boots on the ground in the U.S., but boots on the ground in some of those potential markets as well.
Okay, perfect. So would you have any recommendations for producers or even the provincial pork organizations going forward?
I think it's we need to be active. And I think that's we need to engage with both our government as well as our partners. We need to be saying the same things on both sides of the border. And I think that's largely happening. Is farm organizations in Canada and the U.S. and Mexico are strongly telling their governments that we need to have this integrated North American market continue. So that's important. I also think, to producers, engage with your organizations. Call me, come into the office, send an email or a text. We're happy to sit down and talk with people about what's happening and what some of the potential directions might be.
Now, I imagine that a lot of the politicians have never set foot in a pig barn. So is that something that you guys are trying to get politicians to visit a pig farm? It's kind of to see what it really is like.
And really to understand the impact. I think sometimes the perception of agriculture in our large urban centers is, old McDonald's farm of there's four cows and six chickens and two pigs, right? And this idyllic red barn in the distance. And old McDonald had retired a long time ago, and we should just let him go. Agriculture is very different today. The technology that goes into a modern hog operation, the financial requirements behind it, the science behind nutrition and genetics, the expertise that's required to market the pork and the hogs that are coming out of our production. This is not old McDonald's farm anymore, and that is a message that we need to ensure that our political leaders hear.
Well, and maybe the bankers too. Like, how do we ensure that we get that money to start new builds?
Absolutely. You're 100% correct that, bankers should bet on agriculture, I think should be a campaign, because agriculture and food is really a driver of the Canadian economy. And this is something, again, politicians need to know, and probably the public is, the largest manufacturing sector in Canada is food by a large margin. 27% of manufacturing in Canada is food. And, way too often we get focused on, and not that we shouldn't focus on other critical industries, but we forget about agriculture and food. Mm-hmm. And we can't let that happen. There's just too much at stake.
So you got your work cut out for you.
it's going to be a busy year for sure.
Yes. So any last thoughts on like what the next half year to a year might look like?
I think we're going to hear a lot of rhetoric, probably coming out of both sides of the border. We can't respond to all of that. We need to have some patience and follow actions, not necessarily words, I think, and react to decisions and not just statements that are made on social media. I know in Canada the elbows up is a popular saying for addressing some of the trade concerns that we have, but I think positive outcomes in trade negotiations happen between partners, and happen when there's an understanding of our mutual benefit and mutual value. If we're going to get to that point, there's going to need to come a time when the elbows have to come down.
It's time for our famous three.
Your ag business didn't stall on the market. It stalled because everything roots through you. Pricing, hiring, the angry account. You're not leading the company, you're refereeing it. The Owner's Box is a peer group of 8 to 10 agribusiness owners with one agenda. Get you out of daily operations and into the owner's seat. Monthly working sessions, real decisions, real commitments. Built by Wisenetics, the number one podcast network in animal protein. Apply for cohort 1 at the Owner's Box. Seats close when the room is full.
Fair enough. All right. Well, so to our listeners, if you're enjoying this episode of the Swine at Canada podcast show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your colleagues, friends, and family. So now we're going to go to the final three questions, which is always the same. So the first one is, what's your favorite swine-related book or resource?
So you know what? I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I really like the Canadian Hog Journal, and if people aren't getting it, they should. It's a helpful, useful publication here in Canada.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Yes. Perfect. So what's your favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
You know what? I'm going to repeat myself again, too, but it's so applicable to our current environment. I think it was about 1930 or something like that, Stephen Leacock wrote Sunshine Sketches of a Little Town. And, it's a comedy about politics in Canada and politics in small towns. And if people haven't read it, they should, because it was applicable in the 1920s and the 1930s, and it's applicable today. Not much has changed.
Some things never change. Okay, so then the last question, in your opinion, what sets successful swine professionals apart from those that are not?
I'm going to take Manitoba as an example, and I'll take our PED response. We have had a successful touchwood response to PED and controlling it and keeping it out of our barns for the last few years, and that's happened because the industry has collaborated. And individual outbreaks at individual sites have occurred, participants have taken short-term decisions that have cost them money, but that are in the long-term interest of the industry. And it's that level of collaboration that that really sets this industry apart. And it it applies to all parts of the value chain, whether it's farmers or veterinarians, folks in government, like our the Office of the Chief Veterinarian, our processors. It really is a collaborative effort. And you don't see that in many sectors of the economy.
And I remember talking with Janelle from Manitoba Pork on the PED response. So that's great. Okay. So thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege.
Perfect. So that concludes another episode of the Swine in Canada podcast show. So don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on future episodes. So thanks everyone for listening, and until next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.